Don't sit down. Just reach down and pick up your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, Acts chapter 28. God is good, and all the time, and do you believe that? Amen. Well, I believe that as well, and this morning, it's kind of hard for me to believe that we are only two sermons away from finishing a verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. Now, I hope you haven't gotten tired of it or tired of me, but man, it has been a joy to study God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse to learn what God would say to his people. Isn't that good? And we thank God for that. And this week and next week are going to be the last two messages in our study of the book of Acts. This week, storms, shipwrecks, and snake bites. Next week is going to be a message entitled The Unhindered Gospel. When we come to Acts chapter 28, I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? All right. How many of you like going to the lake and just being on a boat and the serenity of a lake? You like that, don't you? There's something soothing and calming and much of a blessing about that. Well, when you read Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse 11, you read about Paul's end of his journey to Rome. And when you read it, you almost get the idea that, man, it sounds like Paul was on a cruise. But there was much, much more to the story. Listen to God's word in Acts 28, beginning in verse 11. Now, at the end of 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship which had wintered at the island and which had the twin brothers for its figurehead. And after we put in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we sailed around and arrived at Rhegium. And a day later, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There we found some brethren, and we were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and thus we came to Rome. And the brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and Three Inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. Now, I am not one to quote Mike Tyson frequently. But Mike Tyson, when he was interviewed by a reporter before fighting Evander Holyfield, was asked if he was ready for Holyfield's fight plan. And Mike Tyson made a famous statement, and that statement was this: everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Now, Mike Tyson did lose that fight, but I want you to think about that statement. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Would you be seated, please? When you read Acts 28, 11 through 16, it almost sounds so easy. But the fact of the matter is, if you were to go back and begin Paul's journey from Acts 9 and his conversion all the way through his calling and his missionary journeys, and really when we got to Acts 25, 26, 27, and 28, Paul has made his way to Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem, he would later be sent to Caesarea Maritime, or Caesarea by the sea, where he would undergo a number of various trials. And he was kept there for 2 years by Felix. Then he would face trials with Festus and Agrippa and Bernice. You might remember his final words that Agrippa said to Festus when he said, this man might would have actually been set free had he not appealed to Caesar. The Bible tells us in chapter 27, in that first verse, that Paul was then placed into the hands of a centurion who was of the Augustan cohort for Caesar and put on a ship whose destination was intended to be Rome. Now, you're well aware that in these chapters, Paul faced a lot. As a matter of fact, when you read these chapters, one of the things that becomes obviously clear is that Paul's journey to Rome was not an easy one. And all along the way, as Paul was on this journey, he found himself facing storms, shipwreck, and snake bite. A journey that more than likely should have only taken about 23 or 24 days. Some estimate that it took 6 to 9 months. And yet, in spite of all of his circumstances, the Apostle Paul not only saw the faithfulness of God, but Paul remained faithful to the Lord. And I want to talk about you. I really don't know what your life journey has looked like. And I don't know what the rest of your journey is going to look like. But what I can tell you is this, that whether you face storms, shipwrecks, or snake bites, here's what I want you to think about and the key thought this morning that I want you to keep before yourself as we study this passage of Scripture. My prayer is that in your journey, that you will experience God's faithfulness and that you will remain faithful to the Lord. You know, it's interesting when you look at this passage of Scripture. I want you to take chapter 27 and I want you to walk with me through some important verses that we find. Notice what it says in verse 4 of Acts 27. And from there we put out to sea and sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Underline that word contrary. It's a word that means opposite, or it's a word that means opposed. In other words, Paul says, we got on the ship, and as we set sail, it felt like that rather than helping us along, that the winds were contrary, and we were fighting against the wind. Then look in verse 7 at what it says. When we had sailed slowly for a good many days, and with, here's the word, underline it, difficulty, had arrived off Cnidus, since the wind did not permit us to go farther, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. And then look in verse 9. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now, underline the word, dangerous. It literally is a word that means unsafe. Since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them. Now, the fast that is referred to here, some believe, is that this was now the period of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. But the voyage was now dangerous. And then look in chapter 27 in verses 13 through 15, and I'm going to specifically look at verse 14. But I want to read verse 13 first. When a moderate south wind came up, supposing they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore. But before long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind. Underline those words, violent wind. It's the Greek word typhonikos. It's the word from which we get our word typhoon. In other words, this wasn't a mild storm. This was a typhoon. It was a fierce, violent storm called Euroquillo. The word Euroquillo, a strong wind from the northeast. It was a northeasterner. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. Now, I want you to listen to what Paul experienced. Now in chapter 27, all the way up through what we read in chapter 28, Paul faced a myriad of things. If you remember, they set sail, they had the storms, and ultimately it would lead them to being shipwrecked on the island of Malta, where there it was that the apostle Paul would be bit by a snake. And I'm going to tell more about that in a moment, but I want you to realize, listen to it, the winds were contrary, sailing was difficult, it became dangerous, and when you read chapter 27 and they were shipwrecked on the island of Malta, listen, they all thought they were going to die. So it went from contrary to difficult to dangerous to deadly. I think Paul got punched in the mouth. How about you? None of us like storms. We all wish that life could be easy and that sailing was smooth and the winds were always at our back. But the fact of the matter is that every single one of us will face our own storm. Some storms are family problems, crisis in your marriage, crisis with your kids. Some storms are financial storms, and you find yourself in a place where you don't know what you're going to do. Some storms are physical, and that is you face a physical challenge with your health that you never anticipated and you wished had never occurred. Am I the only one, or could we not get a law passed that every other commercial is not from a pharmaceutical company? I think I've got half the diseases they advertise about every time I watch them. Storms. You know, it's an interesting thing about hurricanes. Without an occasional hurricane, the world's weather might be worse than it already is. Are you aware that fierce tropical storms play a vital role in maintaining the heat balance between the tropics and the polar region? The tropics and subtropics receive more heat from the sun than they lose by radiation. Listen to this statement by Gordon Dunn, the former director of the National Hurricane Center of Miami. If hurricane control were successful and none were allowed to go through their full life cycle, nature would undoubtedly find some other method of maintaining the heat balance, and who can say that this new method might not be even more disastrous than a hurricane. Hurricanes regulate climate, hurricanes are drought busters, and hurricanes bring ecological life. Whether you know it or not, storms in life that God allows to come into your life can also produce many, many good things in you and through you. As I studied this passage of scripture, there were three things that God showed me that I want to share with you that I hope will help you as you walk through any storm that you face, that you'll be able to see the faithfulness of God, but that you will also remain faithful to the Lord whom you love. First and foremost, I want you to notice with me that storms remind us of God's faithfulness. Storms remind us of God's faithfulness. You say, how in the world is that? Because when I go through a storm, I ask myself the question, God, why are you letting this happen to me? I was thinking about that recently as I was thinking about someone that I know that's going through a storm, and And it dawned on me, Lord, who am I that I should never go through a storm while others go through storms? Because the fact of the matter is, there are some things that you will only learn in your Christian life, not in the sunshine, but when it's rainy and cloudy. The Lord shows himself faithful in the storms. When you look at this passage of scripture over and over again, we see the faithfulness of God. The Bible says that God overwhelmed Paul with kindness. He supplied for all of his needs, whether it was through other believers or whether it was through Luke being with him and another companion. Or did you see in the passage, if you take time to read it, that for some reason, Paul actually gained favor with the Roman centurion who made sure that Paul was taken care of? The Bible tells us in this passage that God mightily encouraged Paul, that he delivered him from the storms, the shipwreck, and the snake bite, that he blessed his influence, and that he fulfilled Paul's desires. If you remember well, Paul really, really, really wanted to get to Rome. Listen to the psalmist. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord says, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. In Hebrews 10, we're reminded to let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Storms remind us of God's faithfulness. You know, they remind us of God's faithfulness because we see God do things in those moments in our lives that are unexplainable any other way than but God. I think one of the problems that we have in the midst of a storm is we're watching the thunder and the lightning, and we're listening to the boom, and we're watching the rain. And if you're not careful, you'll miss the miracle of what God does. Not just around you, but in you. Anybody seen God in a storm? Storms remind us of God's faithfulness. I think the problem is that we often think that we should be exempt from storms. You know, God, if you really loved me, I wouldn't have to go through this. God, if you really were faithful to me, you would protect me from ever experiencing difficulty or darkness in life and challenges. The fact of the matter is, God uses storms providentially for his own purposes to fulfill his redemptive plan throughout humanity, and somehow and in some way, our lives are woven in the providential plan of God. That God, listen, God is not most concerned with protecting our safety and security in this life, but he is primarily concerned with delivering us through this life, ultimately to the life eternal that is to come in glory with him in Christ Jesus. Storms remind us of God's faithfulness. But I want to share with you a second thing that I think God showed me, and that is that storms provide opportunity to exercise faith and faithfulness. Now, I want you to look in chapter 27 at verse 25. But before you look at verse 25, I want you to look at verse 21. Now, they're in the midst of the storm and they're shipwrecked. And the Bible says, and when they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up in their midst and said, now remember, there's 276 people on this ship. They're scared for their lives. They're worried about what's going to happen. And Paul stands up and he says, men, You ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. All along the way, they were throwing everything overboard to lighten the load, to keep the ship up on the top of the waves. And Paul says to them in verse 22, "And yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me saying, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men.'" Listen, here it is. "For I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island." Now listen to that. Paul didn't say it's going to turn out the way I want it to. It's going to turn out as I intended or I planned. Paul said, it's going to turn out as I have been told. In other words, he believed God. He believed the word of God. He believed the messenger of God. And Paul was going to live in accordance with the promises of the person that God had spoken to him and said, this is what is going to happen. And yet Paul still understood, listen, the ship is going to be lost, but our lives are going to be saved. Though the outer man may be decaying, listen to me, church. Though the outer man may be decaying, one day there will be a resurrected body for those who believe. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more sadness. And Jesus Christ will live with us eternally in glory. Isn't that good news today? I may not know the storms I'm going to face or the shipwrecks that we'll endure or the snake bites that may happen, but what I know is I can believe God and I can trust him. And storms provide an opportunity for you and I to express and exercise our faith and our faithfulness to the Lord. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." You know, I was thinking about the disciples that found themselves in a boat with Jesus sleeping and a storm comes on the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret. You remember the story? Matthew and Mark. You remember they were upset and they woke Jesus up and say, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" And do you remember what the Lord of glory did? He spoke to the wind and he spoke to the waves and he said what? "Be still." Can I remind you this morning that you are following the one who the winds and the waves obey? Storms. Storms provide you an opportunity to exercise your faith and your faithfulness to the Lord. I want to ask you, do you believe God? What are the things that we want to believe? Iva and the choir sang about it. The goodness of God. Do you believe God is good? Do you believe he's a good father? Do you believe that he loves you? Then through all of the storms, through all the shipwrecks, and through all the snake bites, you can trust him. Amen? Here's a third thing I learned in this passage. Storms remind us of God's faithfulness. Storms provide us with the opportunity to exercise faith and faithfulness. But storms also present opportunity to express our faith to others. Now, in this passage in chapter 27, if you look in verse 33, the Bible tells us, and until that day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day that you've been constantly watching and going without eating and having taken nothing. In other words, they were in the midst of this fight for their lives in the storm. And Paul says, you haven't eaten anything in 14 days. You're exhausted. You're spent. You need to take some food. And I want to encourage you. Paul became a source of encouragement for those that were around him. And God wants you in the midst of a storm to be a source of encouragement to others. Look what it says in this passage, verse 34. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation. For not a hair from the head of any of you shall perish. And having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all. And he broke it and began to eat. And all of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. Can you imagine? I mean, they have been constantly fighting contrary winds. Sailing has been difficult for weeks and months on end. They had to winter for 3 months. You're gonna read that. And all along this way, there was difficulty and danger, and they thought that their deaths were imminent. But Paul steps up in the midst of all of this and seeks to encourage other travelers in the storm. Can I say to you that it is a wonderful opportunity for you and I when we are exercising our faith in God to demonstrate faithfulness to God by becoming a source of encouragement to others who are walking through a storm. And I don't mean by that we smile no matter what. But what I do mean is this. You and I can have an impact on somebody else who's defeated, discouraged, and ready to give up. You can be an encourager to others. You know, Philippians was one of Paul's prison epistles. We know of Barnabas as being the son of encouragement, but Paul did a great work of encouraging the saints. He wrote Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians. He doesn't complain about his circumstances. He wanted the saints in Philippi. Listen to what he said to them in Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. In Ephesians 3, he said, I give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He would go on to say, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you've renewed your care for me. Over and over again, Paul was encouraging the Philippians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing. Don't waste your storm. Sometimes people are very reticent to talk about what they're going through. They say, well, I'm very private. I understand that. And I'm not asking you to be that kind of person that everywhere you go, you tell everybody everything that's going on in your life. What I am saying, though, is don't miss the opportunity that God may give you to be a blessing to someone else because of what God is doing through you. Be a source of encouragement. Storms present opportunity to express our faith to others, but also be a source of clear gospel proclamation. In chapter 28, they've landed on the island of Malta. The ship is out at the rocks. They've swam their way to shore. The ship is breaking up all around them as they're watching the waves destroy it. They get there and they start building a fire. The Bible says in verse 2 of Acts 28, the natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. And here you have a picture of Paul, a proverbial servant all the time. And it says in verse 3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on a fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened it on his hand. Paul shook the snake off, and it went away, and the people looked on and they thought, oh man, this guy must be a murderer or something. He's about to swell up and die. Nothing happened. Now, I don't know. Obviously, it must have been a venomous snake or they wouldn't have been afraid in that way. But listen to this. The snake bite became a tool God used to authenticate both the message of Paul and Paul the messenger. And what God may do in your life is he may allow you to undergo a storm or a shipwreck or a snake bite, so to speak, because God is authenticating the message of the gospel through you, and God is authenticating you as his messenger, as his child, that your testimony is true. You are not one of the fly-by-night, in-the-wind kind of Christians that as long as things are going the way that you want, you love and serve God. No, you serve God come flood, blood, crud, or mud. You love Jesus because you believe God. Amen? So just days after arriving in Rome, Paul calls for the Jewish leaders of the city to begin to teach them. While under house arrest, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and the teachings of Jesus to everyone who would visit him, even while he was under guard. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Paul said the storms, the shipwreck, and the snake bite, all of it has turned out for the progress of the gospel. He goes on and he says in verse 13 that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. And then notice what he says in chapter 4, verse 22 of Philippians. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. How in the world would Caesar's household know about the Christians in Philippi? It's because Paul had been preaching Christ to them and telling them the story of how the gospel had made a way and had changed the lives of these people. And they were talking about what God was doing in Philippi and now what God was doing in Rome. And so Paul would say to Timothy in his last days, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to reprove, exhort with great patience and instruction. In other words, whether you're in a storm or out of a storm, whether you've been shipwrecked or you've not been shipwrecked, whether you've been snake bit or you haven't been snake bit, it is always the season to share with people the hope that is yours in Jesus Christ. Storms. Storms present you opportunity to express your faith to others. So let me remind you what my prayer is. My prayer is that on your journey, that you're going to experience the faithfulness of God every day, and that you too will remain faithful to the Lord no matter what. I want to show you something in this passage. I want you to look in Acts chapter 27 and in verse 27, verse 17. 27, verse 17. The Bible says, here they are, they're being shipwrecked, and after they had hoisted it up, they used supporting cables in undergirding the ship, fearing that they may run aground on the shallows of Sardis. They let down the sea anchor and let themselves be driven along. Now, here's what's interesting. I want you to underline the two words, supporting cables. It's actually one word in the Greek language, and it reminds us of a nautical term called frapping. Any of you familiar with frapping? All right. Well, frapping is a term, or to frap, is a phrase that means what they would do, even in ancient times, they would use ropes or chains that they would have around the hull of a ship. And whenever they came to a storm that they were fearful that the hull of the ship was not going to be able to withstand the battering of the wind and the waves, and they were afraid that the hull was going to break up, one of the things that they could do was they could take the chains or rope and they could take them around the hull and they could tighten it up to shore up or to literally hold together the hull. That's what it says in verse 17 of chapter 27. After they had hoisted it up, they used what? Supporting cables in undergirding the ship. There's only one other time that that same Greek word is used in the entire New Testament. And it's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Here it is. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The same Greek word that's translated in verse 17 of Acts 27 as supporting cables is the same word that's translated help in Hebrews 4:16. The writer of Hebrews is saying this, listen, when you find yourself in need, if you will draw close to God, you will find out that just like cables or rope around the hull of a ship that binds it to hold it together, that our God in heaven who loves you, is good to you, is a faithful God whose faithfulness endures throughout all generations, is the God who will put his arms around your life and God will shore up what you think is coming apart. Draw near to God with confidence to the throne of grace that you might find mercy and his help in your time of need. So when you think you're falling apart, when the storms are hard and you can't make it, when you feel your life has been shipwrecked and left in pieces all across the horizon, when you feel like you've been snake bit after snake bit after snake bit, I am telling you, you don't have to hold it all together because there is one who is greater than you that holds it all together, and his name is Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the church in Colossians and he says in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. In verse 17, listen. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Our God is a faithful, faithful Father. In 1958, Mosey Lister wrote these words. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Amid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Come on, say it with me. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there's no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. And when the long night had ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on the bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. If you know the chorus, say it with me. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe, Lord, till the storm passes by. Would you stand this morning? I don't have any idea. You may not be in a storm. I hope it's sunny everywhere you are. Amen. But I know you. I know too many of you personally. And I'm here to say to you this morning that God wants you to experience his faithfulness and to walk in faithfulness in your storm. This morning, there are those of you that are here that you are in a storm. And what you need to know is that in the balcony, Jerry Reeder is going to be there to pray with you, counsel, encourage you. I'm going to be down here at the front. And if you say, Pastor, I just would love for somebody to pray over me in my storm. Maybe you just want to bring your spouse or a friend to this altar and say, God, there's somebody that we're burdened for that we know they're in the midst of a shipwreck right now, and our heart aches for them, and we want to pray for them. There's not anything more important than what's going on right now spiritually in your life. Know where you've got to be, nothing you've got to do that's more important than what God's doing right now. We're going to sing this song of invitation, and as we do, whether you need to come and join the church, whether you need to come and say, Daryl, I need to talk to someone about having faith in Jesus Christ, or as a Christian, you just need to be encouraged. You come. We want to pray with you. Fill this altar. Let your heart be known unto God. And remember this, he is a good, good Father. Lord Jesus, I pray and I ask this morning that your spirit will lead us and guide us, and that God, everything that happens would bring praise, glory, and honor to your name. Lord, help us. Help us to understand the storms in our life in accordance with your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,